Good morning, it's Monday the 9th of February and you're starting the new week with Morning Report. I'm Phil Towers and here's what's on the way. From Gladiators to Peppa Pig, you might know her as Fury. Well, she's going to be popping up with the famous pig as part of an upcoming storyline about hearing loss. The Winter Olympics are underway in Italy and what a weekend. It's had it all, drama, heartbreak and the first few medals as well. Ben has a roundup of what's been happening so far. And it can't have escaped your notice, it's been pretty miserable outside for what feels like forever.
The average for this time of year is for around 2 hours of sunshine, and many places are struggling to have even had that in total so far this year.
Why is it so miserable? Yeah, I know, it's winter, but Alex from the Met Office will give us a bit more detail. As for today, well, it's going to be another grey start we're waking up to this morning, and that's going to linger around for most of the day today. Some heavy rain and strong winds if you're in the southwest of England or South Wales too. There's a weather warning in place from around lunchtime today there. It's pretty mild for this time of year though. Temperatures today reaching highs of around 12 degrees Celsius in London, 10 in Cardiff and Manchester, and 9 in Glasgow and Belfast.
I'm Grace McIntosh. National HIV Testing Week begins today, and while treatments have changed dramatically, attitudes haven't always kept up. I'll be speaking to the CEO of the charity leading the campaign.
But we know what holds so many people back is fear of that result and the hangover of what people understand HIV to have been in the past.
All that and more on the way for you this Monday morning. First, let's get the morning headlines. In the newsroom is Nathan.
Sir Keir Starmer's facing mounting pressure from Labour MPs following the resignation of his chief of staff over the Lord Mandelson appointment. Morgan McSweeney quit after taking responsibility for advice that led to Peter Mandelson becoming US ambassador, despite concerns over his past links to Jeffrey Epstein. Downing Street insists the Prime Minister's position is secure, but critics say questions remain over his judgment. A study from the University of Sheffield says TV gambling ads significantly increased betting during the 2022 World Cup. Men aged 18 to 45 were up to 24% more likely to bet when matches aired on channels showing gambling adverts. Researchers warn that current rules might not protect those most at risk ahead of this year's tournament. New analysis of NHS England data has found young people are waiting more than 300 days for support after a referral. That's according to charity Young Minds, which supported nearly 14,000 parents last year through its helpline. Natasha Thomas is from the organisation.
Concerns around anxiety, school problems, anger and aggression, and then it kind of goes further down to sort of behavioural management, autism, you know, neurodivergence concerns and things like that.
And around 1 million people with caring responsibilities are in need of more support. That's according to a report from the Resolution Foundation, which found a large amount of carers look after a loved one for more than 35 hours a week, the equivalent of a full-time job. The research also found that many of those unpaid carers are concentrated amongst poorer households who find themselves forced out of the job market to look after their families.
Thanks, Nathan. So let's have a look at what's on the front pages this morning. Well, there is one story that's dominating, and it's the resignation of the Prime Minister's chief of staff, as you heard just then in the news. Now, many papers are seeing this as an attempt to save Sir Keir Starmer's job and his reputation. The Mirror have the headline, "Blame Me," say Morgan McSweeney takes full responsibility for the appointment of Peter Mandelson as the UK's ambassador to the US. So just to give you some background on this, if you've not been following, well, Lord Mandelson was given that really important role last year, but was sacked a few months ago after his links to the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein came out. But why has all this come up again? Well, claims have come out this last week from a release of files in the US that suggest Lord Mandelson may have given Epstein sensitive government information back when he was business secretary under Gordon Brown in 2008. Now, I have to stress, he does deny any wrongdoing in all of this, but it's led to questions being asked of the Prime Minister's judgment in bringing him back into government once again. The headline on the cover of the Daily Express asks, "Are Starmer's days numbered?" While the Daily Mail goes with, "So how long can Starmer cling on?" The Guardian says Starmer is fighting to regain control of his party, while the I newspaper says Operation Save Starmer is underway. Well, I've had a scroll through what's trending this morning too, and number one on X this morning is the Super Bowl. Lots of people are talking about the game, but more importantly to some, the halftime show too. Johnny will have the latest on that for us later. Lots of chat too on yesterday's football after that dramatic win for Man City over Liverpool. Meanwhile, Liz Truss is trending as well. She's been commenting on the future of the Labour Party. Will they be grateful for her input? Who knows? Lots of chat too on Love Island after last night's episode saw a big twist. Two couples had to leave the villa. Now then, National HIV Testing Week gets underway today across the UK. The message is a simple one: get tested. Well, Grace McIntosh has been taking a closer look at the campaign.
Well, thanks to modern medicine, people living with HIV who are on effective treatment can live long, healthy lives and can't pass the virus on. That's if they know their status, and the issue is that too many people don't. So charities are saying that many people feel embarrassed about getting tested, even though free, confidential testing is widely available and early diagnosis can be life-changing. Today marks the start of HIV Testing Week, and the Terence Higgins Trust is leading the week of events and campaigns. Richard Angel is the charity's chief exec. I asked him why stigma is still a huge issue.
National HIV Testing Week is a unique opportunity where anyone, anywhere in the country can order a HIV test, get it sent to their home or a discreet location, and know their HIV status. But we know what holds so many people back is fear of that result and the hangover of what people understand HIV to have been in the past. If you are living with HIV, it is so much better to know, which means you need to have a test. And when you know, you get access to the best clinicians anywhere in the world. They're the nicest clinicians that you'll ever meet. And they will give you world-class treatment. And when you're taking that medication, you not only stop the virus attacking your immune system so you'll be healthy and have a long life, but crucially, you can have sex, have a baby, and you can't pass it on to anybody in those often loving moments in your life.
You mentioned that the Awareness Week is all around, centred around people getting tested. More people are getting tested now, which is a good thing. And it's more accessible now, is that right?
Testing is really easy to do. So back in the old days, you might have to go to a particular clinic. You might have to wait weeks and weeks to have it happen. None of that is reality now. You can do a home kit where you get the result from a finger prick test in 15 minutes, the result from an oral swab test in 20 minutes. You can go to a clinic and they can tell you the result almost immediately. And you can do it when you go to A&E using other services around the place. So tests are aplenty, but for lots of people, it's not a thing they think about often. And that's a really great thing. This is National HIV Testing Week. It's the time to think, yeah, I've had sex in recent years. Maybe I didn't use a condom. Things are probably fine, but it's best to know my status. So do you know what? I'll order that test.
As a charity at the Terence Higgins Trust, your goal is to end new cases of HIV in the UK by 2030. That's just 4 years away. So how likely is it that this can be achieved?
Ending new cases of HIV in the UK by 2030 is possible, but not yet probable. We could still be the first country in the world to do it. And every day we do an action that brings it closer. Our government is a partner for change, and just 2 months ago announced 170 million over 3 years to try and bring that goal into reality. 150 million of it was going on improving testing across the country, including 3 million tests in 90 A&Es up and down the length and breadth of the country. So the government is a partner for change. We now need the public to think, ooh, it could be me. It probably isn't, but it could be. There's 5,000 people living with undiagnosed HIV across the UK. Those people need a test. And you will then know and go into the world with the knowledge that either you're negative and can stay negative, or you get a reactive test and you can go and get the best treatment in the world and see the best doctors in the country.
Great interview from Grace there. Thank you very much. HIV Awareness Week runs all week with information, support and testing advice available online and in communities across the country. Now then, it feels like we haven't seen the sun for weeks, doesn't it? The weather's been pretty miserable. Well, I've spoken to Alex Burkill from the Met Office to try and find out why.
Well, there's a number of factors at play, but the biggest cause for just how wet it's been is this big area blocking high pressure over Scandinavia, and that's done a couple of things. So usually our weather systems, they come in from the west, they rattle across the country, and we see, yes, some wet and windy weather, but it moves through relatively quickly. But because of this blocking area of high pressure over Scandinavia, those low pressure systems, that wet, unsettled weather, it's not moving across the UK, it's just kind of sitting often to the west, the southwest of us. And so then that's leading to the rain that's pushing through kind of stalling and not really going anywhere particularly fast. And so that's why we've seen the rain building up.
So lots of rain, leaving things pretty gloomy.
It's fair to say many places have really been limited when it's come to sunshine so far this year. There hasn't been a huge amount in quite a few spots. It's worth bearing in mind, during January and into February, the days are still relatively short. They are getting longer and longer. We don't have a huge amount of day length compared to during the summer months. But even that being said, the average for this time of year is for around 2 hours of sunshine, and many places are struggling to have even had that in total so far this year.
And we've had all that constant rain as well, haven't we, which has led to some areas being flooded over the past few days.
So with the rain that's coming through, nothing's especially heavy, but the problem is the ground's very saturated, it's very wet because of all the rain that we've already seen. So what would normally be not necessarily concerning amounts of rain are now likely to cause some further impacts. And as a result, there's the potential for further flooding and also travel disruption. The advice, as always, is to stay on top of the Met Office warnings. You can do so on our app and on our website, and particularly during periods where the warnings are valid. Try and adjust travel plans if you do have to travel during that period. Allow extra time for your journey. Maybe avoid travelling if you can. And if you're in an area where you think you're susceptible for flooding or power cuts, that kind of thing, make sure you're prepared. So make sure you have lots of batteries, torches, that kind of thing, just in case you get a power cut.
Thanks a lot to Alex Burkill from the Met Office there, and do stay safe if you're in an area that can get hit by the flooding. Still to come on Morning Report, Ben's got all the action from the Winter Olympics, and Johnny can tell us all about last night's Super Bowl, plus the Gladiator, who's going to be popping up in an episode of Peppa Pig.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted, but then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text JUSTICE to 78900. That's JUSTICE to 78900.
The value of gold and silver has gone galactic. And Fairgold have paid out millions for your gold, jewellery and watches. To find out more, text the word YES to 80800. All valuations and postage are free and insured. And on the same day we receive your items, we provide you with an offer and pay you by bank transfer in as little as 15 minutes. Or if you change your mind, we return everything by next day delivery. So visit fairgold.co.uk or text YES to 80800, free of charge from any UK mobile.
Welcome back. Now, swapping her leotard for a lab coat, Gladiator star Jodie Ownsley will enter the world of Peppa Pig for an upcoming storyline about hearing loss. Well, Jodie, who's better known to Gladiator's fans as Fury, is joining the show as an audiologist in a new storyline where George is revealed to be moderately deaf and fitted with a hearing aid.
Peppa and George, every time you hear a beep, I would like you to put a block in the bucket, okay?
Okay. Okay.
Brilliant. Let's start. Okay, good. Now the beeps will be quieter.
Finished!
Well, for Jodie, who was born deaf and was one of the youngest people in the UK to receive a cochlear implant, she says the role is deeply personal. Talking about her new role, she actually said that reading those lines and delivering that diagnosis felt like speaking directly to her own parents. A sort of full circle experience for her, really. Well, the storyline was made with support from the National Deaf Children's Society, who say it aims to strike a positive yet supportive tone for families. Well, if you've got little ones, keep an eye out. It lands on Milkshake from the 9th of March. Now, if you've been following the Winter Olympics, you probably realised the weekend was absolutely packed, and it all kicked off with a seriously big opening ceremony in Milan. Ben Monse has a recap of the weekend's events and what is to come later today.
The Winter Olympics are officially underway, and the opening ceremony in Milan was, well, big. Like 4 hours big. It was a full-on spectacle. Mariah Carey, Andrea Bocelli, fireworks, and not one, but multiple parades across the Italian Alps. Now, it wasn't all harmony. The US team got a big cheer, but the mood changed when the camera flashed to US President JD Vance in the stands and the crowd booed. The IOC, which stands for the International Olympics Committee, had to then step in and remind everyone about sportsmanship. Now onto the slopes, where the weekend delivered one of the most emotional moments of the Games so far. Lindsey Vonn, the American skiing legend, returned to the Olympics after a knee injury and a comeback that felt almost fairy tale. But sadly, her story ended in a heartbreak. She clipped a gate just seconds into the downhill in Cortina, somersaulted off the course, and was airlifted to hospital after a prolonged delay on the mountain. Now, the good news is this. Her team has confirmed she's in a stable condition and in good hands with American and Italian doctors. Breezy Johnson, Vonn's teammate, went on to win gold, the first American woman to win the downhill since Vonn in 2010. But she was visibly emotional afterwards, saying her heart aches for Lindsey, and that skiing can be both beautiful and brutal in equal measure. Now, although I myself am far from being an Olympic athlete, I have actually broken my knee before, my patella, and I can really empathize with this. I really wish Lindsey a speedy recovery, because what a heartbreaking thing to have occurred. Now switching to a slightly brighter British story, Britain's snowboarding star Mia Brooks is finally at the Olympics, and she's the kind of athlete you can't help but root for. She's 19, already a world champion, and she's won gold at the X Games last month. She was practically on a snowboard as soon as she could walk, growing up in a snow-loving family who lived in Chamonix for years. Now she's in Italy with her family chasing Olympic glory, and she could become the first Briton to win two medals at the same Winter Games. No pressure there, Mia. And in other results, the men's downhill in Bormio threw up a surprise winner. Marco Odermatt was the favourite, but it was actually Switzerland's Franjo von Almen who came out on top, beating the Italians on the fearsome Stelvio course. Unfortunately, figure skating didn't go Britain's way. The team finished 9th and didn't make the final. Now, turning to look at today's events, there's freestyle skiing, where Kirsty Muir is still very much in the mix. She qualified 3rd for today's slopestyle final. She says she felt the pressure, but she delivered when it mattered. And later today, there'll be figure skating, as well as the aforementioned Mia Brooks, expected to compete in the snowboard big air qualifiers. And also today, a bit of Olympic history is being made. The men's team combined competition is happening for the first time ever at the Games on the Stelvio course in Bormio. So definitely one to watch. All in all, Britain could be looking at a few major medal chances today. So yes, a weekend of spectacle, heartbreak and real British hope. And if this weekend is anything to go by, this Olympics is going to be a wild ride.
Thanks for that, Ben. Oh, Lindsey Vonn, my heart broke for her. She's 41, I'm 41, and I couldn't put myself through that. So what a shame. Anyway, some of you may have pulled an all-nighter last night. Yep, it was the Super Bowl. Johnny can tell us all about that and as well the rest of the sporting highlights.
That's right, Phil. And it was the Seattle Seahawks who clinched it this year. For a second time, in fact, they beat the New England Patriots 29-13 with what was a dominant defensive performance. But sometimes it seems like the sporting action is almost a sideshow, with just as many, if not more, tuning in for the halftime show. This year it was Bad Bunny who took to the stage, and in a star-studded set, he was joined partway through by Lady Gaga, Ricky Martin and Cardi B, and at one point, the stage transformed into an altar as a couple tied the knot while Bad Bunny performed behind them. Certainly a wedding day to remember. Now, some of the other sports headlines this morning, and a huge game's been lined up in the quarterfinals of the Scottish Cup. Rangers will meet Celtic at Ibrox. The Light Blues thrashed Queen's Park 8-0 on Sunday, while Celtic survived a scare to beat Dundee 2-1 in extra time the day before. Now, a late penalty from Erling Haaland kept Man City in the title race as Pep Guardiola's side came from behind to beat Liverpool 2-1. It gave the visitors their first win in front of a crowd at Anfield since 2003. Liverpool boss Arne Slot wasn't best pleased.
Yeah, feeling of anger and feeling of disappointment. Of course, because first half, City were the better team on the pitch. Without creating that many big chances, except for the one from Haaland in the first minute. But they played easier with the ball, but the improvement we've made since 3 or 4 months ago was, I think, visible for everyone. So the second half, our standards went up, and standards in terms of intensity, we were pressing them all over the place.
Elsewhere, Crystal Palace got their season back on track with a 1-0 win over bitter rivals Brighton. The Seagulls boss got an earful from fans, though, with chants of "you're getting sacked in the morning" ringing out towards the end of the match.
Thanks, Johnny. Let's see if Fabian Hertzler can hold on at Brighton. That's all from your Monday morning report. I'm Phil Towers. Thanks for joining us this morning. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll be back tomorrow.